Romans 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How many people want to boast they speak of tongues and they got this gift and they got that? Again, they're the most loveless people you ever want to find. We're told here, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have love. And that covers the lawless and the legalists and everybody in between. If you want evidence of your salvation, then you have a heart to love. And if you say, I don't have it, the question is, are you working on it?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Here's Pastor Rick with part two of his message, Love Over Hate, in 1 John chapter 2.
When he says again, that is the again of furthermore. That is the again of in addition, along with what I just said. He's joining it. And there he says, a new commandment, as in fresh in its application, not in its introduction. It's already existing. He's going to say, I'm giving you something that we've got. It's not new, but it is expanded in Christ. New in the sense that Jesus opened the doors on love wider than anyone else before him, wider than all the prophets of the Old Testament. There was much in the Old Testament about loving God and having God love you. Hosea the prophet, of course, that his prophecy is shows us the love of God for the sinner. The Psalms speak of loving the Lord. But what about loving each other like God loves? See, that didn't really come until Christ, until Jesus Christ came. Not until he walked with men were we so charged to love one another, not as we love ourselves. That's Old Testament teaching, is solid teaching. But to love as he loved. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Remember that the next time it's on you to show love. You might not like the person. You might not be fond of them. You don't have to, you know, like everybody. There are people that come here and they see the pastor and he's preaching and, no, well, let's use another church. They go to other churches and they just don't like the guy. Everything he says is right, they just don't like him. All right, find somewhere else where they are preaching the truth. But love really counts. To look out for the interests of the other one. If you say, you know, I went to the church, I didn't like the pastor. I saw him trying to fix a flat tire on the side of the road. He was struggling, but I didn't like him and I don't love him, so I didn't help him. Well, that would not be Christianity. Christianity says, I don't like the guy, but I won't tell him. But I'll help him fix his tire. Because if Jesus said, you shall like your neighbor, I would be in big trouble. I'd have to move away from neighbors. I'm not having any. It's hard to like people who are sinners. I mean, after a while, you don't even like yourself. John's Gospel. I'm having a little fun with that. So if you're visiting, don't get uptight on it. Stick around long enough. There'll be things about you won't like. John 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. See, I just read verse 12. Now I'm reading it again in verse 17. John already wrote his gospel. This is what he has been teaching all along. He's going to tell them in this letter that, you know, I've been teaching you these things. The Old Testament said this in Leviticus 19, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. But Christ, he comes along in our New Testament with grace and truth, and he says it's not good enough to love someone like you love yourself. I need you to love them like I love them. Now it's different. The standard's higher now. The bar has been raised. I'd like to object sometime. My flesh, not my spirit. When my spirit knows every word of God is true, right, and solid. But this grace, this is a New Testament imperative laid on us, which may explain why when you come across a legalist. What a legalist is usually someone who is Old Testament driven in Jesus' name. And that's why they're so loveless. Because they're not looking at the New Testament. They're not looking at Christ. They're more comfortable in the Old Testament where you can go against your enemies with full force if necessary. The Old Testament command was, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The new standard is, know as I love you also, to go with that. Look at verse 6 of 1 John chapter 2. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That defines Christianity. John's Gospel chapter 13. Again, he hits it. He says, a new commandment, Jesus speaking, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I bet you I'm convicting a lot of folks right now because love is hard to show to our enemies, but they're not counted out. What did Jesus say to his enemies? Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Lessons abound in our Bible. When we look at the life of Christ, here in 1 John, in the 4th chapter, he will write to them and say, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So the commandment is not just to love one another, but to love as Christ loved. And I've repeated that several times because I need to hear it too. I've never preached anything that I've not preached to myself. Otherwise, it would be talking down to you or it would be a performance. When I speak from the pulpit, I speak for me. And it just having some folks that get to share what happens in regard to that. The New Testament loves is to outperform the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You're going to need a lot of the Holy Spirit for that. You have nothing to offer of your own resources to achieve what Jesus just said there in Matthew chapter 5. It is either God with you to do it or it ain't going to happen. And even if God is with you, it's going to take the labor of love. A new commandment, a new covenant. God alerted us about this. Jeremiah again, chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming when Yahweh... Well, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Well, here it is. Christianity is not a first century invention. It's not something that was just thought up in the first century by Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of a single voice spoken by all the Hebrew prophets concerning the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah is the Hebrew word. Christ is the Greek word. Anointed is the English word, the anointed one. All of them with a single voice, consistently foretold centuries before he arrived about his coming, unlike anyone else ever before. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, none of them have this. Only the Christ. He says, I write to you which thing is true in him and in you. He says, I speak the truth to you, and you know it. Darkness is passing away, he says in verse 8. The world's anti-Jesus philosophies, they are dying, but they're dying slowly, and they are not dying without a fight. Like in the book of Joshua, the cities, they were dying. They were going down. They just did not go without a fight, most of them. Gibeon, of course. They took the smarter route out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the world is passing away and the lust of it. But for me, it's too real. For me, it's right now. For me, I've got to deal with these things, not only for my sake, but for the sake of others. He continues, he says, and the true light is already shining. That is God's work on earth through Christ, the record of Christ, through his apostles. Everything about Jesus Christ is illuminating. You don't come to the words of Christ and not have the lights turned on. They turn on, and we know it very well. We don't forget those things that he held up before us because it was the light in the dark place. The Old Testament, its commandments, all of them, its principles, its precepts, the plan for the centuries ahead, all of that was in the commandments. And when Jesus came, he personified it. He showed it. It came to life. The commandments of God, the force of his prophecies, It all came to life so that when Peter met Jesus and began to first realize that Christ Jesus was not like everybody else, he said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man. I can't be in your presence." John the Baptizer, in his preaching, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I like the way Mark writes this. He says, "And he preached, saying," and John the Baptist preached, and this is what he said in his sermon, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose." And of course, that is the Christ, and John came to that realization. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." As of the only begotten of the Father. That means coming out of the Father. That means when you look at Jesus Christ, you see the Father. So what is God like? Look at Christ. "Philip, have I not been with you so long and you don't know? He who has seen me has seen the Father." What is God like? Look at Jesus Christ. John's Gospel again, chapter 1, verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You cannot use a New Testament word grace without having with it love. Agape love, or to say it a different way, Christ-like love. What's the definition of agape love? Christ-like love. God-made love. Comes through the Holy Spirit. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You can only receive it. And it will be worth it. He continues in verse 9, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now." Again, the Gnostics are saying it's okay. I don't have to change. If I don't like somebody, I don't like them. But I understand the deeper things of God. That's what the lines they were, and people were falling for this stuff. We're not surprised. Look at some of the other wacky things people fall for today. Knowledge without love is brutality. If you just know things and you clunk people over the head, you're a brute. Love is supposed to help. And knowledge about God is supposed to help us love and be like God. It is supposed to shave off or burn off, to be consistent with the metaphor, the dross. It burns it off so we can get to the precious metal. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. "Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Why is that? Because he just said, "I am the light of the world, he who follows me." Hatred indicates that the individual is void of the Spirit. That's what hatred does. It disqualifies us. If we have hate, unchecked hatred, then how can we say the light of the Lord is in us when the Bible is very clear about this? I mean, people hurt our feelings in various ways. It doesn't give us grounds to hate them. We might not like them too much for it. We might not be comfortable around them. They may be awkward or whatever. We have no right to hate them. We have no right to pray that God kill them. Even though, you know, you wouldn't want to protest if he went took that option, because some people can push you there. But you have to knock those things out of your head, because if you don't, Satan will inflate them. And so we look to have a loving heart. When I remember as a lad and Paris Island, I can remember my drill instructor, Sergeant Saunier. I really respected him. I didn't like the other two too much, but I respected him. And I could remember on the bayonet course, I could still hear him, "Hate! Hate! Hate!" As you would stab that bayonet, you were to feel as much hatred as you could sum up. "I better cool it down. I don't want to recruit any of you young men. Whoa, that place is for me." No, it's not. But as a lad, it felt good. That was my flesh. And I became a Christian. I've been trying to wash that out of my head for, I don't know, 40 years now. Love. Get that in there. Now listen to the Holy Spirit say, "Love, love, love." Okay, okay, okay. Authentic Christianity versus real Christianity. You cannot get very far with God without the love of God, without the Holy Spirit flowing through you. Not just into you. Your maps in the Bible in the back. You turn to the map of Israel. You see the Dead Sea. Well, first to the north, you see the Sea of Galilee. And then at the bottom, you see the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, the water floats down from Mount Hermon and the runoff and all the other things down the Jordan and goes into the Dead Sea. There's life all around it. There's life in it. The water flows in it and it flows out through it. And there's life everywhere around it. You get to the Dead Sea, everything is dead because nothing comes out of it. It holds all that it gets from the Sea of Galilee and other tributaries. We're not to be the Dead Sea. Incidentally, that is the lowest surface on the earth, natural surface on the earth, the Dead Sea, 600 and some feet below sea level. Romans chapter 5, you thought New Orleans was the lowest below sea level. Romans 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How many people want to boast they speak of tongues and they got this gift and they got that? Again, they're the most loveless people you ever want to find. We're told here, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have love. And that covers the lawless and the legalists and everybody in between. If you want evidence of your salvation, then you have a heart to love. And if you say, I don't have it, the question is, are you working on it? And I don't mean just, as a hobby. It is possible for believers to be victims of lovelessness and still love the one who wrongs them. You understand that? It is possible that you have been abused severely. I mentioned Richard Wambrand's book, Tortured for Christ. He never lost his love for those people that he ministered to. Those vile, vicious, mean communists who tortured him. And that is a good picture of what the Christian life is supposed to be like. We can be tortured by convenience. We've got it so good. That way we don't post our guards. We don't rotate, the guards and stay on top of things. We have it so good. We become settled in our lees. Everything is just settles to the bottom. We need to be stirred again. You can do it voluntarily by staying in the word and prayer and in fellowship and communion with the Lord. Or you can have him do it for you. It's better to do it before he gets to you. It's better to be stirred through obedience than to be chastened because of disobedience. And he closes verse 10 with, he who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Stumbling, to cause somebody to stumble, is to cause them to sin. And we try not to do that. Some of you have probably caused people to sin by your driving. You mean, like, that's why we have turn signal fluid in the chapel store. So some of you need that stuff. Because to sit at a busy intersection and waiting to go, and you're waiting and the guy turns when you could have gone, is grounds to not have to love that person. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, this is very clear. It means just what it means. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. King Saul, he is the poster boy for jealousy and hatred and darkness. Of all the characters in the Bible, I think his character says it the best. And for those of you who have been sat through our studies here, you know I don't like this guy. He was insanely jealous of King David. The dark chapters of Saul's life began when David was loved more by the nation than Saul was. Saul has killed his thousands. And Saul said, yeah, that's me. But David has killed his 10,000s. Oh, that did it. It was bad enough. He still had the taste of watching David, this shepherd lad, take out the giant that he was afraid to go near. That was really the very start, but it just kind of lay dormant there. But when the women incorporated the heroics of David into their song, that was just too much for his jealous heart to bear, and he went deeper into darkness. He struggled with his hatred at some points. His ill will, however, drowned out that struggle and began to grow until it dominated his entire life. His life as king was consumed with hunting down David. David did him no wrong at any point. Crazy Saul even gave David his daughter to marry, hating him all the way, even through that. Some of you think you've got bad in-laws. You know, they say the difference between outlaws and in-laws. It's not true, but it's funny to think about it. Outlaws are wanted. I don't have that problem, but I know some of you do. I can tell how you by your laugh. And Mom, I'm very grateful that I don't have that problem. I know you're here. Filet mignon tonight. Anyway, he struggled until it dominated him, until he forgot everything else, even allowing the rule of the kingdom that he was entrusted with by God, anointed by Samuel. He allowed that to fall into ruins. He hated those who loved David. What we're looking at, those who walk in darkness, those who give in to hatred. If you loved David, you were his enemy. His own son he tried to kill because he had an inkling that his son sided with David. He brooded on his hatred, ignoring the growing threat of the Philistines against the nation. That became secondary. Primary was his hatred. He was consumed, degenerating into this madness that caused him to go on a crusade to hunt David down and murder him. On no less than 10 times, no less than 10 times do we read about him, separate times, making an attempt to kill David. He massacred an entire colony of priests because he felt they were good to David. On suspicion. He had no proof whatsoever. They sided with David. Kill them all. Two occasions when David had cornered Saul, had him in his grasp. He could have killed Saul right then, right there. And he did not do it. Saul then admitted his wrongdoing, but soon returned to stalking David. I was wrong, David. I'll kill you next week, okay? We meet people like this. They are out there. But thank God they're not everywhere. They shop at Target. I know that. And everywhere else. So, stalking David to corner, to capture, and then kill him. That was what his whole life was about. Blind to everything good. Until at last the jealousy, the fear, the rage, the malice took over his existence to the point where he jumped on his own sword. That's what happened. He went and consulted a witch, and then he died on his own sword. And then he, not doing a good job with that, he asked someone else to finish him off. This is what the commentator says about the life of Saul in the end, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 14. He said, but he did not inquire of Yahweh. Therefore, he, Yahweh, killed him. And turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. This man was so much in darkness because of his jealousy, because of his hatred for one individual. Multitudes suffered and died. As I mentioned, a colony of priests. So as we think about this verse, think about this. This 11th verse. Saul hated the man who was really his best friend. In the truest sense of the word. Saul hated the man that could have helped him the most, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And there were little hints of this, because David would sing and Saul would get out of his demonic spirit, because David was ministering to him as a man of God. The love of God was flowing through him. And what did David get in return? A javelin, more than once. Darkness is blinding. He who hates his brother walks in darkness, John says, and the Bible illustrates it. And just this one character of Saul, not that there aren't others, but Saul captures it. Hatred blinds us to love, but love shines through. So before we dismiss this morning, if you come away with something, there are two things. The hatred in the life of Saul due to its jealousy, the darkness that surrounded him, his poor finish, and what I said at the beginning for you younger Christians. I don't want to stare at any one of you and like single you out, so I'm not looking at you, but I want to. You better watch what you listen to and who says it. Take heed, Jesus said, to not only what you hear, but how you hear it. You better be careful, because there's a real Satan out there, and he hates your guts, and he wants you in hell. And you've been raised with the gospel. And if you think you're old enough now to do without Jesus Christ, then you don't have to excuse me or not. You're a fool. That's my view. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, I reject the truth of Jesus Christ. Would you expect something else from your pastor? Would you expect a pat on the back? Good job. You disobeyed mom and dad because you found out better things out there in the world by other people who say they were Christians, some of them. judge a tree by its fruits.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.